My question is, why can't we have nice things? Why is it every time we participate, lately we watch something, we crowd around something, we go online, we run our mouth about it, we rave about it, we tell our friends about it, everybody's watching it, right?
Yeah.
And then the studios come out and they say, yeah, that's canceled, bruh. Yeah, that's not coming back, bruh.
Yeah.
It's happened time and time again. This was the issue I had with Netflix while I like stopped my subscriptions, restarted my subscription over and over and over with them because they were just canceling everything I was watching. Now here we go with HBO and Max recently canceling Rap Shit after we dreamed up this dream of our third season, what it will be and all the things and the way that it ended and leaving us with a cliffhanger. This ain't HBO's first time pulling this on us because they did the same thing with Lovecraft Country, right?
That's right. They did, yeah.
There are countless shows that this happens and it can't be a numbers thing anymore. I would really, this is why they was on strike too, because I really would like to see the numbers. Are we really watching it by that much? But also, even if it's just us watching it, right? Why is that not enough? The sense does not make to me anymore. I'm really just like so upset and so confused. That along with recently, it came out in the news that Amazon Prime Video is also cutting the budgets for their international films. So this means films from Africa, films from India. They just are like, no, we're not gonna be doing that anymore. Tiara, I'm so like pissed off. I'm telling you.
What do you make of that? Like, let's start with Rap Shit, because I'm personally impacted by this. Like you said, we reviewed this show. We really loved this show. It only got two seasons. Like, what do you think? Like, what are your thoughts? Because to your point, like, it can't be just the numbers, right? Or can it? What do you think?
I assume that the numbers were excellent, but also this came after it was delayed due to the strike,
right?
Here's how I feel. They announced the cancellation so soon that I don't think they had any intention of ever renewing it for season three, right? And in that case, you should have just canceled it season one and not even gave us just archived the season two somewhere so that we didn't get involved in it.
Right. Or give us a better ending for season two, because I still have questions and I need answers and I need these characters to have better wrap ups to their stories. Like, I feel like we just got left hanging. I really do.
It's happened time and time again. Listen, I'm still waiting on a proper ending to My Wife and Kids. I'm still waiting on a proper ending for Living Single.
Yes, yeah.
I'm still waiting on a proper ending for The Jeffersons. You understand what I'm saying? So this is a tale as old as time. And then here's a thing. People always say, oh, you know, we should support our own things. Tubi's not our own. Okay. Let's be clear.
But there are
applications that are existing that are owned. There's Quelly TV. There's All Black. There's a bunch of apps. But here's the issue. You all don't support them the way you support these name brands. It's just like y'all people who go out, you buy Gucci, everything like this. But you were shitting on the fact that FUBU was trying to make a comeback and that they were selling in Walmart. But it's yours. But it's something that belongs to your community. And y'all so be so tied up in big brands and shiny things because y'all so busy focusing and supporting on like what's popular instead of what's right. You know, I'm sick of y'all. That's, you know what?
Tell them how you really feel, T.
Maybe we can say something a bit more sweet because I'm getting upset. What? What's the solution, Tiara? Like,
I really don't know. Like, Rap Shit in particular, I mean, it had all the ingredients and it had Issa Rae. It had an amazing writing team, great actors, a relevant, fun story. I don't know. I really do not know. But I will say, I agree with you. I think that the strike and the timing of it all is really what kind of put the nail in the coffin for this. And I hate that. I
Yeah.
really hate that. I do.
I would wonder if HBO just leased the content and Issa's production company owns it, or did they buy the content from the production company? Because if that's the case, Issa, you probably could do a GoFundMe.
Real talk though, real talk.
And put the content on another platform, but something tells me that they just own the whole thing.
I don't know because Insecure was on HBO, but now it's on Netflix. So maybe not.
Well, we gotta find
We're
out.
gonna see. Time will tell. We're gonna see.
You know, and everybody posting about it except for Issa, which is another issue. I don't make she maybe she was just like, I'm done. I was done when they first
I mean, it could be that she might be like, listen, I've been new. I've been new. Y'all just found out, you know? So it could very well be that.
I'm so disgusted.
Yeah.
But speaking of the international content, again, Prime is apparently going to be cutting the budgets for that. It's the fake diversity and inclusion for me. Like it's so ridiculous. But also I don't feel like they promoted their international content as proactively as like Netflix has. Netflix seems to put a lot of stuff right there on the front page, everything from investing in the Korean films to the Indian films, the African films. They seem to be sort of putting certain stuff on the main page for people, for international audiences. Whereas I feel like with Prime, it existed there, but you kind of had to know about it. You know what I mean? It wasn't really a priority, right?
It was like they're checking the box, like, oh, look, we have diverse content, it's here, but they're not promoting the content. Because honestly, I didn't even know it was there until you told me about this before we hit record.
They But speaking of international content, I'm gonna cool myself down, and we're going to get into seeing some international content with the review that we are about to do today. Okay. Tierra, what? Let me off my sound. Tierra, what are we going to be reviewing today? Talk to the people. And oh wait, before we do that,
Intro,
I
intro,
am T-Lon,
intro.
okay? I'm T-Lon. That's TEARON, period. And if you don't know, it's Tuesday, so we are doing another movie review. And of course, we are running our mouth right now, but I am here with
Hey y'all, I'm Tierra, and like T-Ron said, it's Tuesday, so we are doing a movie and or TV show review, but in this case, it's a movie. So we are going to talk about the film called The Kitchen on Netflix. That's what we're getting into
Yes.
today.
I'm getting out of this place.
It's all home.
The guest room. Saving myself.
So where do you live?
Kitchen.
It's really like what it tastes like.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I want to know what it's like, right?
This is war.
All right, so The Kitchen is a film that was directed by Daniel Kaluuya for Netflix,
Yes,
right?
absolutely.
And it was directed by him and also Kiwe Tavares. You know, people forget about assistant directors.
Yes, they do
But
sometimes. That happens.
dropping these wires over here. But Daniel Kaluuya directed this, and I was telling you before we started that it's so funny to me because when you are directing something and you have a name and a brand, you find it a lot where some people, I guess it depends on their ego personally, they will put themselves in a role. So you see it with like the Tarantinos of the world. You see Tyler Perry's in everything. You see like Spike Lee, you know, doing roles in his movies and stuff like this.
Who we just talked about.
Issa Rae. So you see it quite a bit, but there are some people who just like want to direct for the director's sake. And in this case, I just believe that Daniel doesn't want to ever play a British guy again. And this movie focuses on characters who are British. So he's not good. He's like, no, I don't play those roles. You will never catch me. No.
So you're trying to shake the table.
Well, I'm just saying, Daniel knows he doesn't want to play. He's like, look, I got this Black American accent down. I've made all my money from it. But this film is starring Kano, who's playing Izzy. Kano, we all know now because he was one of the stars of Top Boy. Mm-hmm. Top Boy did really well on Netflix. And this is one thing I want to say, Tierra.
Yeah.
The reason I sort of gravitated to this was part of that, but also the fact that I want to, anytime we are reviewing Black British films, right? I want them to be stories that are just for them, not necessarily Black British actors playing other parts. Right. Because like I said, I think that they also have stories to tell from their own unique point of view that aren't just, you know, playing our historical figures. Who's y'all's? And this is not, you know, it's fictional. It's set in a near future, if you will.
Yeah.
but it revolves around mostly minorities in this community known as the Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You want to explain the Kitchen, Tierra?
Yeah, I'll explain it. What and the then Kitchen I'm is? Drop the trailer after my explanation. Yes.
No, we already dropped it.
Oh, okay, my bad. We already dropped it. Well, yes. Yeah, so since we dropped it, as you saw, it's about Izzy, like T-Ron spoke about, and it's about Izzy's experience trying to escape the Kitchen. So the Kitchen meaning I viewed it as like a housing project. Is that what you...
So the Kitchen, yeah. The Kitchen is like a housing development, or what was a housing development. And it's now in this dystopian period, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of policing. There's a lot of gentrification. There's food scarcity,
yeah,
which is something to point out. And basically, there's a community or neighborhood or whatever you want to call it that is known as the Kitchen. And in this case, the Kitchen, the people who have lived there were supposed to be removed. They were going to be kicked out of their place for whatever reason. Maybe some corporation bought it up and wanted them out.
Gentrification.
Mm-hmm. And they refused. The people of the Kitchen said, no, this is our home. This is where we live. And we're going to hold it down. So what you see is people who have adapted to the issues that have developed. So all of the like apartments now have, you know, armored doors and, you know, everybody kind of has these coded languages, right? So, you know,
yeah,
like when they're hanging out of the windows and they're banging pots and pans collectively as a group because somebody sees that the police are on their way to do whatever. Tierra, we'll get into all of the fun stuff and everything, but the policing.
Yeah.
The one thing I think this movie didn't do a good job of, and maybe it didn't have to,
mm-hmm,
was explaining why. Or giving us the real, we know that the people, we eventually learned that the people are supposed to have left that property. We just learned that through the story. But why do the police keep looping back?
Yeah.
Like, what's the purpose of that? And then they're not only looping back, they are gathering people up and some people are turning up dead through the chaos.
Yeah, it's like brutality on another level. I was confused by that as well. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like watching, I'm like, what part of the movie did I miss where they explain why the police are so violent, so egregious? Why do they keep, like you said, circling the block and keep terrorizing these people? Like, yes, they were supposed to leave, whatever the case is, but it was just like, I mean, they were like dragging people out of their buildings,
Yeah.
their homes, children like beating the kid. Like it was egregious.
It was
I'm
a
not.
lot.
Yeah.
And then my thing was like, you knew they were there. You know that they're there. You have drones patrolling. Speaking of, how far away do you think we are from that?
Police drones
Drones patrolling
surveillance.
neighborhoods.
Child, not far.
I think that's gonna sooner than
That's
later.
sooner,
But
much sooner than later.
I don't think the film ever exactly says what year this is. If they did, I missed it. Or maybe I blinked if it came up on the screen.
They did not say, and I want to say I saw something about 2042, but I can't remember if I was looking at a description of something else and it said 2042
Right.
because it doesn't say it here when you look on Netflix. But I'm like, I know I read that somewhere, so I don't know.
But the reason I even mention that is because it's like the technology in the film is a bit more advanced, but it's logical. Like it's near, right? There's things that you see in the film, from like, holographic signs to in the morning when Izzy gets up and he's brushing his teeth, he has notifications on his mirror that he's swiping away.
Not gonna
All of
lie, I
the
kind of
tech.
love that. I was like, oh, I
I
didn't think
don't
this.
love that because the last thing I want in the morning while I'm brushing my teeth is messages popping up on me.
No, but
I try not to even get on my phone like that first thing in the morning, you know?
I know I had that same thought too, but I was like, one, I don't play about a do not disturb or ignoring notifications. So like I have no problem with that. But just to know that they're there, because have you ever tried to brush your teeth and like look, scroll your phone? It's hard to do. It's tough.
You
I
shouldn't be doing that, Tierra.
know, but
You should be
sometimes I have
brushing
to
your
read a
teeth.
message when I'm brushing my
Jeez
teeth. To each
Louise.
his own.
But the like I said, the technology is it's understandable. So it lets me know that it's not that far off into the future because even some of the cars and stuff, you see like in the scape of the city, you see like electric cars parked on the side of the road kind of thing. You could tell. But also there are still gas-powered cars. There's motorcycle gangs. You are not in a dystopian film, an apocalyptic, situation unless there's a motorcycle gang. Unless, can we talk about that? That seems to be a common, like you have to have a gang. They have to have unique helmets or jackets or something. In this case, one of the leading characters was a he was like a gang leader, but just like, minor stuff. They weren't like killing people. They were just terrorizing for things that they wanted,
You know
right?
what
They would
they reminded
steal
me of?
food.
They reminded me
What?
of the Lost Boys from Hook and Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Like the main guy was like Rufio to me, and the other little guys. I was like, they are literally like the Lost Boys, and they had a girl in the group. And like you said,
Yeah.
they weren't doing anything bad, bad.
All the crimes made sense. They did crimes that they had to do to survive. So you couldn't even really hate them. You could see the danger in them, but you couldn't hate what they were doing, like, robbing the food truck and stuff like this. But here's what I wanted to point out was because, like I said, these gangs always have like unique looks and things like this. Did you notice that Staples, this was the gang leader who is played by, let me see if I get this name right. He's definitely Nigerian. Who's played by Hope Ipoku
Go
Jr.
ahead, sound it out. Hope.
Hope Ipo. I lost it. You Hope. It's played by
Beautiful,
this kid
beautiful.
who if you I don't know if you noticed this, but he had a face mask, but the face mask was made out of Air Max. Did you notice that?
He did?
Yeah, so when that when in that first scene where they're going to when he's riding along in the food truck
No.
and they set it up, his face mask that he wears is Air Max. It's a shoe. And it's just like modified. So even like the strings around it are like shoe strings, and it's this is like the you see like the Air Max logo and you see the Jordan logo. It's I thought it was really cool. It was really cool.
No,
but
I did not see that. No.
It was like a thing. It was like a thing where, because later on when they go, and we'll get into this, but later on when they go and they recruit the kid to join them, his mask is also a shoe. So clearly someone is making do in the kitchen. They're making face masks out of tennis shoes, gym shoes. Hopefully they're clean when you gotta. But yeah, I thought that was cool.
It's recycling. No, maybe I did. It was a lot going on. Exactly. It
So
was a lot going on though too. Yeah.
it was a lot going on, but here's what. So we get so Izzy again, played by Kano. Izzy is a resident of the kitchen, right? And he wants to get out badly, as of course I'm sure everybody does. But Izzy's pretty much to himself at this point. He has, a friend that he works with, and he works at what was the place called? Life After Life, something like that. Excuse me.
Yeah, life
It's
after
Life
life.
After Life,
Yep.
and basically it's a futuristic funeral home. There we go. There we go. It's a futuristic funeral home that offers up services that allow for your loved one to be I was gonna say discarded. What's the word you would
No,
use?
don't say that, please.
Buried. Let me, but buried is also bad.
Well, no, they're cremated. They're cremated. They're cremated.
I don't think they're cremated. Basically, your loved one gets turned into a plant.
Their remains become a plant.
The
Yes.
remains, yes.
Yes.
And it's just a unique service. Honestly, this is the question that I had when I was seeing this, was, is this something that is already offered, or is this just like a,
Yes.
it is, it's a
Yeah,
real thing?
so it people can have their remains or request to have their remains turned into like a plant or planted or like by a tree or within a tree or like in the roots of a tree, whatever the case is. But yeah, that's
Yeah.
available now.
Okay. Because I feel like it's something that should just kind of become commonplace. So in a way, I thought it was cool, but they put in this story that makes the whole process, like the actual going to the funeral home and how you mourn over your loved ones and how you gather, is a bit of a drag. It's not personable. It's not, the family congregating and celebrating a life. It's more like a business as usual kind of thing, right? They're just
Yeah.
going along to get along. And that part that kind of like, made it seem like it was a bad thing, but in my mind, I'm like, I think this should be happening. Basically through the dialogue, we learned that, again, it's a dystopian era. There's food scarcity. The resources that are probably in this time period aren't as much as they once were. And so people having their remains turned into plant life helps the planet, I guess. It's not said that way, but that's what they're laying on.
That was absolutely what I gathered. Yeah, that they were, because it was futuristic and the sci-fi elements of it, I think that that's what they were getting at, is like, okay, we're at a point at that time, we're at a point where like the planet is in dire need of all the things and all the help we can give it. So yeah, that was what I got from it. Plus, I was also thinking, like, we, like you said, we don't know what year that was, so like, I don't know, at some point we're gonna run out of space to put people in the ground. I'm just saying. So if we can make
You know
a
what?
yes.
I've always wondered about that too, Tierra. Where how many years? Because you ever notice that a funeral home or a what do they call a graveyard? I don't know what they're
Cemetery? Yes.
a cemetery. Have you noticed that they don't buy more land?
No.
So how many years pass? Like, is it 100 years? It's like, okay, all your family descendants have got to have moved on so we can reuse this land.
Not moved on. Moved on
No, I'm
is
seriously asking
wild.
that question.
No, I know. Like, yeah. Because at some point, I know in certain places they will like excavate the remains because they need the space. I have heard of
that's a thing.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
But how, what's the time period?
That I don't know. Now that I don't know. I don't know what the time period. We'll have to ask.
Because what if you wanted to try and like trace your ancestry or just find out something and you wanted to go and visit a plot or whatever?
I mean, I'm sure they keep the records. I'm sure the records are there, but like they need the space. Dog, you've been here 100 years. We need this.
Oh, well.
So
while we are at Life After Life, we get introduced to a young kid named Benji. Benji is played by, let me see if I get this kid's name right.
Mm-hmm, get it right.
Jediah Bannerman.
Yes.
You know what?
Yeah,
I'm getting good at this. Don't worry. Don't you fret. I'm getting good at these names. When we get introduced to the kid, my first thought is Tierra. I'm like, okay, I see what this movie is.
Yes,
this is a troubled youth who just lost, you know, their only parent.
Yep.
They got a smart mouth.
Yep.
And they are going to get attached to someone who is a loner. We've seen this formula time and time again. Yes. I think the only difference here is that all of his insults sound polite because he's British. So even when he's getting smart at the mouth, it's...
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
The Queen's English.
Yes.
Right? Whereas if you did this film in America and you've seen this film before, where we see a smart mouth kid who is attached to a loner, don't want to really be like, an adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they got, you know, it's a bit more vulgar.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. So the kid is not unlikable ever. I think you find that sometimes with other films that try to do this. The kid is not unlikable or annoying. He's not just disrespectful for disrespectful sake and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. But he got a little spark to him.
Yeah. He's also like what, 13-ish years old, maybe 14 at the max. So that's the age where you expect that. But then also his mother died, you know, and he's by himself.
Yeah,
he doesn't
yeah.
have a father. So yeah, I expected him to be this way. But like you said, I didn't dislike him. I actually was like rooting for him the whole time. I liked him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And we meet him at the funeral home, and basically Izzy notices that one of the funerals that are in that are happening is someone that he recognized or that he remembered. So he goes to check it out. Turns out that there's nobody there at this woman's service except for the funeral director or the person, you know, that does the generic eulogy, and then the son of this woman.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? Well, the son notices that Izzy was around, and you know, it wasn't just like, oh, he's around because he works there. It was like, no, you felt something. So mm-hmm. The son goes out, sees Izzy, and then it's on from there.
I think it's important to note, yes, it's on from there, but I also think it's important to note that Benji immediately asks Izzy if he is his father, because he felt...
Did he?
Yes, he asked him that. He said, are you my dad? How do you know my mom? Why are you here?
I thought he just asked, like, how do you know my mom? I didn't hear that.
But he also asked him, are you my father?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
he was expecting for his dad to show up. He didn't know him. He never met him. He was expecting him to be at the service. And so Izzy is the one that showed up. And so that's what they thought. But like you said, it's on from there.
This is your bike.
Move from me, man.
Can I have a go? I'm good on bikes. Let me just show you.
No, move, man.
I'm good on bikes.
Yo, move.
Man, let me just show you.
Hey, listen. It's your mom's funeral today, man. Yeah, get it. Don't want to have to tell you to fuck off.
Here's one thing I was curious about. Mm-hmm. So when we see the kid for the first evening after his mom's funeral, he goes home. Like to the home that he was at with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Izzy feels bad, and so he takes him home or whatever, and he leaves him. But what happened?
You said that like home? He was a puppy.
Well, I'm just curious, like, what happened with the home?
Listen, movie magic, okay?
Like, we never, because you know, as the story was progressing, Izzy was trying to move out of the kitchen to a place called Buena Vista, some luxury apartment place, probably overpriced, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's dystopian era. I feel like anything goes. Why he didn't just move into that woman's place? I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's meaning, like, why didn't Izzy move into Benji's mom's place?
Is that right? Yeah, because there was a whole place. And but also, why was Benji just able to go home by himself? I guess he didn't have anybody, but nobody gave a crap.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have nowhere else to go. So,
and it also seemed like a better place than the kitchen.
Yes. However, he would have been alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, so Benji finds his way to the kitchen. He's going basically to find Izzy. He knows that he lives there because he asked him, and he's going to find him. We learn later in the story that Benji's mom said that whoever your daddy is lives in the kitchen and works at Life After Life, or what I think that's the name of the place. I'm probably getting that wrong.
Every time you say Life After Life, my brain is like Life After Lockup, but anyway.
Oh God, that's the reality TV in you. But so here's my thoughts, because when Benji finally goes to the kitchen to find Izzy, I was like, oh, I see why people congregate here. This is, I could hang out here.
It was a vibe, right? Like, it was literally a vibe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love my top, don't see chat, God, yeah, that's right.
Even though the kitchen, they low on resources, they do have a community shower.
Yes,
it's not a nice place to be, right? But here's one thing that I find with Black people globally, right? They say we're not monolithic, but we have these similar traits, mm-hmm. and that is, we gonna have a good time.
Irregardless.
Of fact.
Yes, that's facts. It, we are the enemy of making something out of nothing, and we're gonna have a good
time. Yeah,
we're gonna kiki and hee and how.
Even and people were having a good time in the kitchen despite the police raids, the food scarcity, the living on top of each other, the, you know, unsafe living conditions. Like, they were still happy people, mm-hmm. and so I could see why people were just like, no, we ain't leaving. Are you kidding me? First of all, we on rations anyway. Everything's bad anyway. We might as well have a good time here together.
That's right.
So when Benji gets to the kitchen, he does not immediately find Izzy. Instead, he runs into the aforementioned gang that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Just brushing over this a bit, you can see how easy it is for a gang or a street crew or whatever, mm-hmm. to take someone in who is going through it. Mm-hmm. They never, there's only one little incident where they kind of try Benji. First of all, Benji, he had time, right? He's like, look, They basically run up on him, corner him, pat him down, try to see if he got anything they could take from him, whatever. Because they know that he's not from the area, right? And he's like, you know, you did what you did. Come up off my bike.
Basically.
Only he said it in a different way. He was more like, move from the bike, bro. Like, you know, stuff like that.
All right, bro. Move from the bike. What? Bro, you're not getting it.
Top over a shitty bike.
Bro, I don't give a fuck. Stay away from my bike.
But he let him know that y'all might beat me up, but y'all finna get these things if y'all don't come up off my, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So they see that he's, like, basically not scared, or they see that he is one of them in a way that he ain't got nobody, they ain't got nobody but each other. They kind of gravitate in that way. So they just decide, okay, well, you can come with us.
You can be in our gang.
That must be the British thing, right? They didn't have to jump him in. He didn't get pistol whipped.
Well, they don't have pistols, so there's that. There's that. So yeah, you would be correct.
So, you know, they just let him in and they take him in. They give him a bed and everything. And I was like, it's just that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy for your troubled youth to be considered the wrong crowd, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, yeah, that was my thought on that.
Yeah.
And then we go from that, and I'm gonna let you take the reins a bit here. We go forward from that, and eventually Benji does run into Izzy in the kitchen, and their relationship develops further.
Yeah, so the relationship develops further. They kind of do this tit for tat, big bro, little bro kind of thing, where Benji seemingly wants to be a part of Izzy's life, and Izzy kind of continues to like push him away, but also still wants him around, like to look out for him. When he finds out he's a part of this gang, he's like, what the F are you doing? You don't need to be around them. So it's very much like, I don't know if they were trying to go for father son, but it felt like big bro, little bro to me, or big bro, little bro to me.
Yeah. Not big bro, little bro.
Yeah, big bro, little bro. That's what it felt like to me. So then.
Same.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing.
Yeah. So I was going to say, and then I'm not going to lie, the middle is where it kind of got a little hairy for me. You too? Okay. I was like, there's a lot.
The pace slowed up quite a bit.
It did. And it was just like, okay, wait, where are we going from here? So I just remember Izzy getting the offer to level up and go to the new apartment on the other side of town, a 2-bedroom. And he had to decide, am I going to give up my 1-bedroom in the kitchen?
Which, by the way, yes. That scene was actually quite funny, because he goes to the luxury apartments. He's, you know, basically going to put down his deposit so he can finally move.
Uh-huh.
And he's the whole interaction is with AI. It's with a machine.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie to you.
And he's like, you know, they know his name. So the machine is talking in a machine fashion, right? And so he's trying to give his responses to the machine. It's like, you know, he inquires about a 2-bedroom, because at this point he's attached to the boy, right? And we know that he's a loner for real. Like, he's okay with being by himself. He doesn't go out like that anymore. He's just been trying to focus on saving his money, getting up out the kitchen, enjoying his nice apartment.
Yes.
So the machine asks him, are you sure about that? He's like, yeah, but he says it under his breath, cause he ain't really sure.
Uh-huh.
And then he has to keep like saying yes, yes. And that was so good. That was so good, to the point that the machine was like, you ain't got to raise your voice.
Would you like to change and apply for double occupancy?
Yes.
No need to raise your voice.
I love that scene. I thought that was cool. Like, that was, it goes back to what you were saying before about like the technology in this, how it doesn't feel so far off, but it does feel like a lot more further along than where we are now. I like that part. I like that scene. It was good.
Yeah. So for a while there, we see Benji in this new place. It's nice. It's clean. It's a small place, but it has tech. There's not a bunch of people running around. So you can get, you know, you get what it is. But he's not himself anymore. He's grown attached to this kid. And at this point, he's starting to make peace with the fact that, yeah, this kid might be mine. He's convinced. Basically, he knows that he had a relationship with the woman who died and that she had a kid. She probably at some point told him, you know, hey, you got a son, but they just never got along and he never saw the kid, whatever, for whatever reason, right? Here's what I was gonna say in the movie. And it's gonna be just the casting thing, right? Izzy agrees at one point, Izzy and Benji are having a heart to heart, right?
Uh-huh.
And Benji finally comes out and asks him again, apparently, because I didn't know he asked before.
Uh-huh.
He's like, are you my father? And he's just like, Yeah. He agrees to it, right? I think there's two ways you could take that. The one is, even if I'm not your father, I am now.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right, I see you.
And then the two is, I've known all along that I am. But I'm glad that they didn't go this route because, again, we're in a time where technology is like, boop, 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 boop. The paternity test could have happened just to be sure, right? Yeah. They could have went to one of them little drugstores, yeah. Got a little test. What they could at this point, I don't know. He took Benji out to get his hair cut, and there was like a hair simulator.
So yeah,
I'm sure they could get they could probably just do the paternity test online, yeah, like spit legit into a thing and
yeah, or go down to the CVS but, and you know, do it right then and there, get the results the same.
Here's what I was gonna say, because Benji doesn't look a lot like. And this is the casting, of course. Mm-hmm. But Benji doesn't look a lot like Izzy because Izzy's light bright.
Uh-huh.
And
you have to say that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, Izzy is light-skinned black man.
Thank you.
And Benji is dark. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so is Benji's mother. And all I could think was, you sure you don't want to do a test just to be sure that you get? But also, I was like, what? Even if that's the case, let's say you are his father, your genes were swallowed up. Have you?
Shut! I hate y'all for that. I just want to say, I truly hate y'all for that. For making that a thing, I hate y'all.
Izzy's genes were swallowed up by the mother's genes,
yeah.
And so Benji looked like his mama. Let me just put
it
that way.
Yeah, he's his mama's son. Yeah, I had the same thought too. I was like, I mean, I know this is just casting, and I'm glad that Jediah got the role because I thought he did a fantastic job. So I'm like, awesome. I get it, but also this ain't his daddy. Like, we not.
But that's what I was saying. I was glad that the movie did not directly address the paternity in a way that it fully answered it, because again, we're living in a world where, like I said, resources are minimal. Everybody's, you know, going along to get along. You kind of have to find your crowd and stick with it, right? So either Benji was going to end up with the gang who were gonna look after him, right? I never felt at any point in the movie that the gang was going to be harmful. Even when they were doing things, I felt like everybody kind of had each other's back. Of course, it was a lot more dangerous, right? So they were going to, you know, look after him or whatever, but he was either going to let that happen or he was going to take him in. And at that point, he had already grown so attached to the kid, and he had a relationship with the kid's mom regardless, right? So even if he wasn't his biological son, it was already set at that point. Yeah. He knew that the kid had nobody. And at one point they discussed his relationship with the kid's mom. And Benji says to Izzy that my mom said, you know, she basically told him about Izzy, or it could have been about any guy, but she told him about Izzy. And she was like, you know, your father didn't love me, but he would have loved you, right? But I think that may have been her belief, but he clearly had some sort of attachment to this woman enough to just assume that, yeah, that's a possibility that that's my kid and I should step up. I don't know. It was just interesting. But I think it would have been totally different, and we would have felt entirely different if they actually said, or did something to show us that he was his actual father.
Right.
It wasn't needed in this time period. It wasn't important.
Right. Well.
Did you think of that?
I'm just trying to think, like, it wasn't important, or because it did, like, they left it open-ended. So some people may feel like it didn't wrap up the story. Like, it didn't conclude, but
it wrapped it for me, because the way I see things, Tierra, is like, mm-hmm. In this life, we have relatives.
Mm-hmm.
These are people you're born, you share a similar bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
These are your first cousins. These are your aunts and uncles. You know, people that you spend the night with when you're growing up, mm-hmm. right? Those night. Are relatives. Mm-hmm. But when you get to a certain age and you're out in the world, right, and you go out, you find that you accumulate over time your chosen family. Right. And those ties tend to be stronger than just a relative. Mm-hmm. There's relatives I have that I haven't spoken to in decades, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they're still my relatives.
Sure.
Would I feel the same way I do about them as I do about someone I met along the way who I've adopted as family? We all have best friends and stuff that are like family, you know?
Yeah.
Like just for, you know, I don't know your mom's first name, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I just call your mom. Okay?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
it's like that kind of thing where it's like, you know, and so when you have people who are your chosen family, I think it means more than the blood test.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, I feel like it was wrapped up. But like you said, some people may not feel that way, but I think that is a stronger seal than them saying, hey, for sure, that's his kid.
That's his daddy. I just think, like, what you were saying about the genes being swallowed.
Swallowed.
People going to be like, oh, how you know that's the daddy? We need to wrap it up. Da-da-da-da-da. So I can see it going both ways. I really care. But that's why they did it. So, I mean, that's cool. It has us talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got us talking.
Yeah.
So as we always do, as we always do here, is talk about favorite moments and least favorite. Mm-hmm. So I am curious, what is your favorite moment of this movie?
My favorite moment I have a few favorite moments, but my favorite moment in the film itself mm-hmm. is when we are at the party in the kitchen. So the kitchen got everything. You don't really have to leave the kitchen
at all.
It's just they have everything, but it's just only if you need it. You know, they really put an emphasis on that. It was only if you need. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was, which we didn't mention, there was the kitchen radio DJ. Basically, there was a guy named, that went by Lord Kitchen, and he was the voice of the kitchen. Basically, he came over these loudspeakers in the area. He played music. He gave them news updates. And it kind of set a different tone. Like, basically, the kitchen, there was this whole world outside of the kitchen, but the kitchen was its own environment, its own community. They had a skating rink, Tierra.
They did.
And that was probably my favorite scene, was because despite all that was going on, like I said, Black people gonna have a good time. And to know that we are, you know, in the near future, it was not mm-hmm. distant. We are in the mm-hmm. near future, and Black people are still doing the electric slide. That was my favorite moment. I loved that scene.
No, I loved
so
that.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the overall story or anything, but it made me feel good. And I was like, okay, even when the shit has really hit the fan, mm-hmm. we're still gonna have a good time. And I love seeing an electric slide in 2040, 2050, whatever
yeah,
it was.
20 whatever.
What was yours?
We kind of already talked about it, but like, I think my favorite moments were the technology and just seeing how it, like I said, it's not so far off from what we're doing now, but it like made sense.
Yeah.
The mirror notifications. Yes, I agree that it's a lot, but it could be cool. Like, or being able to like take a shower and turn the music on from the mirror.
They got that stuff now.
Excuse me. See, I'm behind. So, okay. They do. But no,
it's the thing.
There's always a thing that I'm behind on. Oh my God. But anyway, I thought that stuff was cool. I really like that. I love the, like you said, the apartment machine lady getting him together and them like being able to sort that out and not having to actually like go through a person, which is like a whole other thing. But I enjoy that. I thought that was cool. Now, as far as least favorite moments,
mm-hmm.
man, the funeral scene when Benji's at his mother's, not that face, he's at his mother's services. That broke my heart. Like, that was hard to watch. I'm not gonna lie. Like, he was there by himself and they had the like the pictures of him and her together on the screen and the pictures of her throughout her life. That was so tough for me to watch. I was like, wow. So like, I mean, I guess it was a good moment because it evoked the emotion, but man, that was hard to watch. That was so hard to watch.
One of my least favorite was a funeral scene as well, but it was the funeral for Lord Kitchen, who we mentioned before. And the reason was because I just was like, okay, they were singing Negro
It's
spirituals, and
true. It's true.
let me tell you something. It just let me tell you something. At my own funeral, I don't want any music being performed, sung, or anything that's not at least 120 beats per minute.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Like, I need up tempo
Yeah.
celebrations.
Yeah.
I don't want, why should I feel this? Yeah, I don't need that.
Discouraged. Or
Please, no.
your favorite song, I Won't Complain. I
I will. I listen. I will complain if y'all do that at my. Don't do that at my service. Please don't. 120 beats per minute
it.
minimum.
Got it.
Minimum.
Just leave us a playlist somewhere and we'll just hit it.
So I'm gonna give my rating here.
Yeah.
All in all, again, Daniel did not put his celebrity in the film on screen. And that's fine. It was a good call because it wasn't necessarily needed. Even if he just played a side character, I think it would have been cheap to do because you would have just been waiting to see him in a scene like, oh, that's, he could have been like Lord Kitchen, right? And whatever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessary. So I'm glad he actually did make that decision to not do it. But also, we know he don't want to play British anyway. So I'm glad he did that. The story itself is not unique. We've seen a troubled youth be attached to a loner adult, and they go on an adventure. It's just the background that it's set against, right? That makes the variations. Excuse me. So we've seen this before. There were some clever moments in the film. It was w well written. I enjoyed the performances, especially from Benji. What was the kid's name?
Jediah.
Jediah, especially from Jediah. I enjoyed his performance a whole lot. So I hope to see him do more things. I don't know if this was his first film or not, but he's really good. And of course, Kano's Kano. We got attached to him in Top Boy. He's gonna keep doing stuff. So no bad performances, no things like that. But there were dips in the movie. There were moments where it was like, okay, this scene is dragging, or my attention was like going to something else. I was like, what am I gonna cook tonight? Stuff like this. all in all, it's enjoyable, but it's not. It's not like life changing. It's not gonna lead to a deep discussion. It's not gonna make you think. I am going to give the movie a Jennifer Lewis. What say you?
Okay. All right. So I agree with a lot of the critique here. I also would love to say that Jediah did a fantastic job. Want to see more of
Yeah.
him. I thought he was really great. You keep saying that we know Kano. I don't know Kano because I did not watch Top Boy. So this is my introduction to him, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I believe. So yeah, decent performance by him. It was great. But Benji, Jediah was definitely the standout for me. Also, I'm going to echo your thoughts here on the storyline. We have seen this before. We know this story. We know, the big bruv, little bruv, father, son kind of thing. We've
You
seen
this
it.
damn bruh.
Yeah, bruv. And funny enough, when I was watching the movie, like I would say the lines out loud, like before they would say it, because I'm like, I know what he's gonna say. Like, I know he's gonna say, why are you hanging out with these gang? Da, 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 da. Like, we know that. We knew that. So, like, I was saying it before the lines came on the screen. So it's pretty predictable, I'd say that. I think what makes this a little bit different is futuristic elements of it. I think it's interesting that they have this listed as a sci-fi thriller because I didn't get sci-fi thriller from this. I don't know if you did. I thought that was a little strange.
I can see this. I can see the sci-fi category because that's what they always do anytime there's a,
Something different.
you know, yeah, dystopian futuristic thing. But thriller, I don't know. I thought it was more of a adventure, like a drama
Yeah,
more
I got
than.
drama, like a sci-fi drama, less.
I don't. It wasn't a
It
thriller.
wasn't a thriller, so that threw me. But okay. So yeah, all in all, I enjoyed it. I think I would watch it again.
Yeah.
It was fine. And I'll put it on again. It's fine. So yeah, I too would like to give this one a Jennifer Lewis.
That works for me.
Yeah. We are aligned, friend. Aligned.
Works for me. That works for me.
Yes.
Well, I've enjoyed this discussion. I actually was surprised that I enjoyed the movie as much as I did because like I said, I felt some stuff coming too, but I still enjoyed it because it was something. It was just a change of pace from the stuff that we've been watching,
Yeah,
right?
agreed. I will say that. Yeah, I appreciated that.
And I like my Black British stories to be that. It's okay to be Black British and tell your story with your accent. I'm gonna keep saying
I'm not saying that. I'm
that.
not touching that. I'm not touching that today.
If you are watching this on YouTube, you can go ahead and leave a like, comment, share, subscribe, all the things. And what we're going to start doing now is we're going to leave a pinned comment, a poll. I want to know what you rate the film based on our rating system. Let us know what you rate the film. You can also interact with the polls on Spotify if you listen to the podcast there. And maybe some other places I'll post up the poll as well, just to see what you think of these films as we review them each week. So there's that. Of course, you can always find me. I'm T-Ron. That's at T-Ron World on Instagram, at T-Ron with 2 underscores on TikTok. And you can also find Ubiquitous Blacks on various social media platforms. And you can also email us with recommendations, informations, duplications, all the Asians. You can re-email us, ubiquitousblacks@gmail.com. Tiara, where can they find you?
Yes, you can also find me all things Ubiquitous Blacks, but also on Instagram. I am at it's Tierra Janae at ITSTIERAJANEE. And yes, as Tieran already said, please send us some recommendations, some ideas, some things we can look at internationally. Yeah, nationally, whatever you got. So if, as long as it's black, we're interested. So please send it our way. Please, please, please,
Blick.
please.
Blick.
Black.
Well, this has been fun. And until then, we will see you next week. Peace, y'all.